I'll switch it off. God is good, isn't he? Pentecost. Can we read a few verses from Acts chapter 2? Just the first four verses. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I have a confession to make. I'd forgotten it was Pentecost. But Jonathan reminded me. It is one of those moments, one of those times in the Christian calendar which has great significance. Christmas is, of course, important, and it's not easy to forget Christmas. And Easter is of great importance as well. But Pentecost always seems to be one of those celebrations, one of those moments, one of those times in the Christian calendar that is often not forgotten, but doesn't seem to have the same profile. And yet, when we begin to look at what Pentecost is all about, it has great significance to us today. What is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? Well, Pentecost is a Jewish feast, also known as the Feast of Weeks. And we're going to look a little bit of the old and then how it links with the new and how it was important for both of them to be, or it's important that both of, we see that both of them link very much together. So Pentecost is a Jewish feast, also known as a Feast of Weeks. The festival came 7 weeks or 50 days after the Passover. Now, those of you who are mathematicians in the house will realize that that's 49 days, seven weeks. But the date was the 50th day after the Sabbath of the Passover week. Therefore, we take 7 weeks from the Saturday. We have 49 days. Then the day after, which is the Sunday, makes up that other day and makes it 50 days. As with all feasts that were directed by God, this has great significance and is seen to be a fulfillment of God's word. Just as we see Jesus as the Lamb who was slain being the fulfillment of the Old Testament in the New Covenant, we also see in the Feast of Weeks a fulfillment of the Old Testament and the New. Now, the Old Testament ordinances were given by God, but they were just a forerunner of what was going to be ushered in through Jesus himself into the new covenant. In the new covenant, the old has been made obsolete, and the new has been established in Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 8 verse 13. In that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The writer of Hebrews goes on to speak of the better sacrifice and the better things that we have through Jesus, which is a whole study in itself. So then as we think of Pentecost, we must look on it from the context of the new being fulfilled, being a fulfillment of the old, which leads to a new and better way. We live in a new and better way, in a new and better covenant. We have a greater access to God. For the old, the people were without, the people were separated from God. But we in the New Testament, in the new covenant, we're able to enter into his very presence. We have access to God himself through Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Of course, the Old Testament was for the children of Israel or the Jewish nation. But of course, the new is both for Jew and Gentile. When Paul, who was a devout Jew, preached to the Jews, he reminds them that salvation is for the Gentile as well. Indeed, Paul was used by God to bring the message to the Gentiles. We have it recorded for us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5 and 8. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it was now being revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. But that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the peace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In a sense, in the old, there was no provision for the Gentile. But we have a new covenant, which is a provision for all, both Jew and Gentile, for you and for me. So what then is Pentecost? Yes, it's a feast coming 50 days after the Passover. It was for the purpose in the Old Testament of bringing in the first fruits as a celebration of the first harvest. It was very significant. It was very important. They would harvest the wheat and then make bread to bring an offering of thanks. The Jews would all gather in Jerusalem and celebrate this feast. They would have come from afar and to be part of this feast. There are many conditions, etc., that have arisen from that first celebration over the years. But Pentecost was a celebration of the first fruits. This is set out for us in Leviticus chapter 23. We're not going to look at it, but if you want to look at it another time, Leviticus chapter 23 sets it all out. However, if we're going to see the significance for us, we need to look at both the Passover and the Feast of Weeks together, as they have a significance for us. We have two similar celebrations, but the two are divinely bound together. We cannot keep the Feast of Weeks or the wheat harvest unless we keep the wave offering of the first fruits of the barley harvest. And so the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, these two are celebrated at the same time. They reminded the children of Israel of God's faithfulness to deliver them from the land of bondage. Leviticus 23, verse 5 and 6. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the first month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. This marked the beginning of the barley harvest. At this time, they also brought the sheaf of barley and waved it before the Lord. This celebrated the first fruits that they had harvested when they came into the land of promise. If you remember, when they came into the land of promise, all that God had provided for them ceased, and they partook of the land of promise, the fruits of the land of promise. It is important to note that the bread was unleavened at this point, signifying the sinless nature. So we have the Feast of Pentecost. This came 7 weeks after the Sabbath. This was different in that the celebration was centered around the first wheat harvest. Most significantly, here, the bread was made as an offering with leaven. Going back to Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 15, and you shall count for yourselves on the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring it from your dwelling, 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. The Passover, the Feast of the First Fruits.
Here we have the end of the Passover week in Jerusalem. The wave offering. The offering of the first fruit found in Jesus. He was without sin, perfect and in all ways. He was lifted up as an offering to God. If you remember the occasion when Jesus came into Jerusalem just before he was going to be taken and falsely accused and then crucified, they had this great celebration as he came and they waved palm trees and so on, an offering, and they declared who this man was. They worshipped him. But Jesus himself set in place the table of remembrance that reminds us of the sacrifice that has done away with the old and has become the new. He was the sinless one. He was, if you like, the unleavened bread, the fruit of the first fruits. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says this: "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits to those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ we shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming." And so the feast of Pentecost. Now we have that feast that ends the Passover, at the end of the Passover week. The bread that is used is made with leaven at this time. This signifying the sinful nature of man who comes as the first fruits, that is a wheat offering, different from the unleavened bread of the barley harvest. The two feasts are divinely joined in that without the first, we cannot have Pentecost. Without the first, we cannot have Jesus. Pentecost ushers in the commencement of the new covenant. When we read in Acts, right at the beginning of the birth of the church, just at the end, where Jesus has been crucified, he's risen again, and so starteth the New Testament church. And it starts with this significant feast of Pentecost. Not the old, but the new. The new is the fulfillment of all that we have in the old. The old has been done away with. And we have a new covenant in Christ Jesus. And on the day of Pentecost, we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We see the giving of the promise. Jesus was to ascend into heaven. He just ascended into heaven. He reminded them of their promise that they would have, that he would give them the Holy Spirit. And so the old has been done away with all its significance, that we find in Jesus in the crucifixion at the cross. And now we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. On a significant feast, on a significant time of Pentecost. The Passover, 50 days, the feast of Pentecost, when God outpours his Holy Spirit. We, the bread, which has the leaven of sin in us, yet we have become the product of the first fruits. When Peter stood up and preached, we see the first fruits of the new harvest, which will and has continued up to today. On the day of Pentecost, we see the birth of the church. Yes, we have the disciples who followed Jesus. We had those who followed him. But here at the day of Pentecost and thereafter, we see the birth of the church. We see the two feasts divinely linked. For without the sacrifice, we cannot have the new covenant. Without the sacrifice that is in Jesus, we cannot have what we have today. Beginning with that waving, the climaxing with the waving of the two loaves, offering the first fruits, represents the new life, resurrection, and life from the dead. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, through Jesus, we are made alive in him. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, says this in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we are all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore the two feasts are joined to bring in the new covenant. Pentecost also opens the way to all. It is not just for the Jew, but it is for the Gentile. Galatians chapter 3 verse 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's lovely when you look at the old and we look at the new, how we see them being integrated, being joined together. When we see in the old the provision for sacrifice for the Passover and all the ordinances that God set in place, but they were just for the Jew, the children of Israel. But Jesus ushered in this new covenant that we might be all partakers. Surely it causes our hearts to rejoice in the promise that we have. So then Pentecost is the bringing together of the old and the new in harmony, but then confirming the new covenant or the new promise that God made to man. You know, God spoke to Abraham, and it's referred to, Paul refers to it in his letter to the church at Ephesus. He says, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Where does this come from? Of course, it comes from Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, that is son Isaac, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. We're not going to look at it, but if you look at the genealogies, you see that we come to Jesus. Jesus, God's Son. All those years before, God had a plan. He had a plan to do away with the old and bring in the new. And Pentecost reminds us of that joining together. Pentecost, the birth of the church. Not the birth of a denomination, but the birth of the church. God gives to the early church, which were made up of those who had followed Jesus, the promise of the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity comes and empowers and fills the early believers for the purpose to be witnesses. Jesus speaks to his disciples just after the resurrection. And he says these words recorded for us in Luke. Luke chapter 24. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And then, of course, we read in Acts chapter 1. When he's speaking to them again, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" The church was birthed. It must have been late on the day of Pentecost that they were gathered together, and they received the Holy Spirit in power, which we've already read from Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read it again. I think it's such an exciting, just a description of what happened. They were there. They were in this upper room. They were gathered together. They were of one accord. They were waiting for something, but they didn't know what it was. They were waiting for the promise that had been told them by Jesus. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then what happened? It wasn't just for a feel-good factor. It wasn't just to make them feel all nice. It was for a purpose. It was for a purpose. Peter stands and preaches to those who gathered in Jerusalem. They would have been Jews. They would have gathered from all around. They were there to celebrate that feast that they'd celebrated year after year. The feast that was set in place, ordained by God. That feast was set in place for years in the old covenant. And here they were in Jerusalem. And the new covenant was ushered in. This day of Pentecost. This new revelation. And what happens? "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers." The church was birthed. The day of Pentecost. It signifies, it reminds us of the church being born by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is the significance of Pentecost then? The significance of the Jew was that they celebrated the harvest of first fruits. the significance of Pentecost to the Christian, that it was a celebration of the first fruits spiritually. For they saw the fruit of the preaching of the gospel, and 3,000 souls were added to them. It was the old covenant being ended and the new covenant being established. It is the fulfillment of the promise that God made to man in providing a way for all to come to Jesus. He has broken down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, and the wall that separates man from God. Indeed, Peter quotes from the prophet Joel in Acts chapter 2. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." We so see so much in Pentecost. Pentecost was a celebration of Jewish feast. How very significant it was that at that feast we have the birth of the church. The first fruits of a new dispensation. The cross, the giving of the sinless one, the unleavened bread. Pentecost, the bringing before God the first fruits. The first fruits of the church that was birthed from the two divinely appointed feasts, but ushering in the beginning of the new covenant. We live today in that new covenant. And are the evidence of the first fruits. We have become the first fruits in Christ. And so on Pentecost, on this day that we celebrate, we are reminded of the old being fulfilled in Christ himself. And we have been released and set free into something which is so new and so fresh. We see the birth of the church on the celebration of Pentecost, which ushers in that great provision of the Holy Spirit to you and to me. My challenge to us all today, challenge to myself, challenge to you: do we live in the freedom that we have in Christ? Do we live in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Are we fulfilling the challenge that we are truly witnesses in Jerusalem and so on into the uttermost parts of the world? Are we witnesses in our own community? Are we living in that anointing of his Spirit that we receive, that was promised and that was given, which is for today? People will perhaps suggest it is not for today. It is for today. It was a provision that wasn't just made for those who were gathered in that upper room. But we see it over and over in the scripture through Acts, where again and again, those who followed, those who believed, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was the beginning, the birth of the church. And we have seen the church grow throughout this world. We might not see it perhaps in our own localities, but his church is being built. His promise is to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. That promise still stands today. And so as we remember today, Pentecost, we're reminded that it's the beginning, the birth of the church. We are reminded that it is the ongoing growth of the church. And we're reminded that it's a provision through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for you and me today. Amen.